Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
For the Bears offensively, could be their tight ends today, right?
We've begun seeing Colston Loveland infused into this offense more in recent weeks. More targets, more catches. And between he and a healthy Cole Kmet, I think there's some matchups the Bears can look to exploit from this Bengals defense.
Williams slings it. Williams! Loveland bangs off his man. He's going to score. Home. Colston Loveland in a jaw dropper.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
We ain't never scared. That's pretty much what happened to the Bears. They're like, scared. Oh, do we have less than a minute to get this touchdown?
I was scared. I was confident Caleb would get them into field goal range, but I wasn't confident in the execution of said field goal after what I watched. That's where I was mentally watching the less than a minute to go when they got the ball back.
I don't know. Get rich or die trying, right? And that's pretty much what happened.
You know, I thought you were going to say get Richard Hightower or die trying, but you just, yes.
By the way, every time we're critical of anything on this show today, it's hilarious. Like me being critical of Caleb or us being critical of the defense. The retort has always been, what about the special teams? They sucked yesterday.
Them too. Yeah, nobody. Listen,
everybody can get some.
Yeah, you can. You can be angry about this game. You can. You can be happy that they won. Everything is in it for everybody. Yes. That's really how this is. Anthony Herron is in studio, and I mentioned our calls are on fire today. So let's go back to the phones. Ant took calls during the post game show, so he's joining in with us now on this Football Monday. By the way, we want to let you know it is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Give credit to your Plumbers. It's going to be a busy season for them this holidays. Presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. So we go back to the phone. Ray and Robbie, we're not going to take very many. Who's next?
We're going to go to Mark. Mark in Richmond.
Let's do it. Mark, you're on the Score.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, Marky Mark?
I got 2 points. One, I hope somebody in the front office has seen what our defense just did out there on Sunday, because they got torched by an older quarterback who couldn't even move, couldn't scramble, couldn't anything. So when we get to him, he had no choice but to take the sacks and a couple of fumbles that he did. And that one pass was a fumble. But on our offense, somebody really needs to go over to Pat Johnson and pat him on the back. He took a second-year quarterback, somebody really needs to pat him on the back, because they came back and he stayed calm through the whole game. He never really got frustrated. He never really got mad. The offensive line stood up to the plate. There were 8 lead changes, I do believe, in that game. Mm-hmm. And Caleb stayed calm through that whole game. I was very, very proud of that kid for not getting frustrated, even when the defense gave up a double-digit lead.
Thank you for your call. No, I think that's fair. How many times do we talk about people beating themselves? And when you saw that there was less than a minute left for the Bears to go down the field and score, knowing what you know about this team, what did you think was going to happen?
I thought chunk plays were on the way. I did. That's just the way that game had gone. And each game is sort of an entity in and of itself, right? And so I wouldn't feel the same way every single game. If they're playing a great defense and they've been struggling throughout the game offensively, I'd be less confident of it. And that's one of those things that has to factor into the way that a head coach handles these things too, just within the flow of the contest itself. But the Bears having a minute to go, we've seen a few because he's only been at it a year and a half now, but we've seen a number of examples now of Caleb being able to pull off some fourth quarter magic before, and this was a scenario that seemed to suit what we've already seen from him. There's a number of things that we're waiting to see Caleb grow in with the consistency and precision and things like that, but odds are stacked against us, clock is ticking down, and you need some big-time elite-level throws. That he's been doing that pretty much his entire young career so far. So, yeah, I felt pretty good about that.
How much of a building block do you think this can be for Caleb? Because although he still threw for under 60% as far as completing his passes, just to have a moment like this and for it to mean a win, you can have moments, but they don't necessarily come in wins. We can look back to last season and see that he looked good there. But to lead a win in this manner, how much of a confidence booster is this not for only Caleb, Ben Johnson's confidence in Caleb, his teammates' confidence, but just overall?
To be able to stack these moments for a new team, a young team, a team who's still getting to know their head coach. They're having these experiences together within the locker room, and you start to be able to build something that truly galvanizes you. And that belief is one thing, after the first win for Ben Johnson to talk about belief, or after the second one. But now the tangible evidence is there. Like, this is a real thing for the Bears. And these moments, especially for the moments to come with young players, a second-year quarterback thrown to a rookie tight end with the game on the line, that's faith that now, and Caleb talked about it after the game a little bit yesterday, right? Where that faith, not only that we as a team can make a play, but the defense can look to the offense and say, when we're off, you got our back. The offense can look to the defense and say, when we're struggling, you got our back. The special teams, yes, Richard Hightower had his special teams unit was awful yesterday. But then just think back a few weeks ago where special teams saved the day with field goals and field goal blocks. So every unit of this game, the Bears have won 5 out of their last 6 games, and every unit can say, we've been a part of this. We've won games for this team. So that's good for the collective. They're not in the locker room right now where somebody can point fingers at each other and say, well, you're not holding up. You're into the bargain consistently. Well, you're really struggling. You're not getting it done. Every unit, defense, special teams, and especially now offense can say, you know what? We've led ourselves to a victory where the other units have struggled. That's a big deal because they can all also say, man, there's some meat on the bone to get better. But winning 5 out of your last 6, 3 out of your last 4 on the road for a young football team, that matters.
It is amazing the lack of tolerance that we have when special teams goes badly. We're cutting, like, Cairo Santos, we cut him.
We can't
earlier.
Cut Cairo fast enough, yeah, man. Yeah, not just this season, last
Richard
year, too.
Richard Hightower, he's out of there. Dennis Allen, though, gives up 52 points to Detroit. It's like, oh, don't worry, he'll figure it out. No, it really is funny that he goes down like that. I wanted to ask you about Kyle Manungai. Mm-hmm. And the day that he had 26 carries, 176 yards. That was the ceiling of what we were told like Kyle Manungai can do, and that is to keep those legs churning, moving forward. Yes, there were holes that were open for him, but you always felt like even when he was met at the line, it was still going to be 2 or 3 yards. What did you think of his performance overall, taking into account that this is not a great Bengals rushing defense?
Right. That context is certainly helpful and useful at the same time. You still got to go out there and make it happen, right? You got to go out there and block up their front 7. You got to go out there and make plays. You got to go out there and run with intensity in your first career start. I mean, some guys can freeze up. Some guys can lock up. Some guys can lose a little bit of that starts, that extra juice that Kyle Manungai has certainly been able to bring to the table in some of the limited action or coming off the pine when DeAndre Swift is the first one out there maybe getting things rolling. And he was out there really early in the previous game against Baltimore, and now he got the start in this one. And you guys know I got to evaluate his entire college career, called a bunch of his games while he was at Rutgers. This is who he's always been. It's kind of in his DNA, mm-hmm. just that style,
right.
that kind of never back down, no flinch kind of vibe.
That's
he has.
What we heard about him. That's what I'm saying. Right. Like, that was the model right there. The way he played is the way you talked about him on the score before the night the Bears drafted him.
And you see it come to fruition behind an offensive line that has truly gelled, especially the right side of the O-line. But, I mean, all of them. Ozzie Tupelo struggles in pass protection. And at times, he gets his weight out in front of him too much as a run blocker as well. well, and people can take advantage of that. But there's a tenacity, there's a feistiness that this O-line mm-hmm. has with the way they're playing. And so that's fun. It's got to be fun to run behind it as a running back.
Well, and you could see, too, like Darnell Wright was having fun run blocking. Yeah. Like he was smiling. He was downfield. He was helping guys up. Like, you love to see that on players' faces. This segment with Anthony Heron is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. All right, one more call, I think, before we get into some of the details with Big Ant. Ray and Robbie, which call should we take next with Big Ant? He's thinking.
Let's go with Dave, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Dave in Wisconsin. You're on with Anthony Heron, Raheemy Harrison Grody on the score.
Hey, guys. What a great panel. And Layla, boy, do you bring some special sauce every morning. I just love what you're doing.
Thank you.
So I got a simple question here. I'm not the expert that you guys are, or certainly most all of your callers. I'm a casual watcher. But yesterday, what seemed to be glaring to me is, in spite of all the wonderful scrambling by Caleb, and he did a bunch of it, there were at least two situations where it appeared there was an open checkdown guy that was like about 10, 15 yards downfield with the defender playing him in a zone, I presume, about another 10 yards behind him. And I just want your comments. That seems to me to be, with all the wonderful things Caleb seems to be doing to improve, that checkdown performance seems to be really a strange, glaring hole. So appreciate your comments.
Thank you for your call. What do you think, Ant?
I think it's a fair observation, and we're still in the stage in Caleb's career where everything is going to be microanalyzed. Like, you even look at the broadcast yesterday where Joe Flacco was special in the second half and especially in the fourth quarter. But when Joe Flacco would seemingly miss a read, it was kind of a passing cursory sort of comment. Like, oh, yeah, it looked like he had a tight end open there. But there weren't like three different replay angles where it's getting telestrated by Adam Archuleta. But then for Caleb, or for, you know, most part, I'd say a lot of young quarterbacks when they're on a big broadcast, that's going to be microanalyzed. And it's just different. Quarterbacks miss read, quarterbacks miss checkdowns. Caleb certainly does that a good bit as a guy a year and a half into his pro career. The seeing the field, I think he's grown leaps and bounds there. To me, just the accuracy, and we've been talking about this a lot in recent weeks, right? Just hitting the intended target in stride is the bigger issue. I thought he passed up on a lot of checkdowns against the Saints. Overall, I don't think that's been a big issue this season, is passing up on checkdowns. In yesterday's game against that particular defense, my impression is going into that game, they said, we can hunt big game against this team. We will go hard play action. We're going to bully them up front. And once we get that run game established, they can't cover us. They can't tackle us. Let's put six on the board. And so, yeah, he passed up on some checkdowns with his eyes down the field, looking for chunk plays, looking for big plays in a way that not every game plan indicates. So yesterday was the type of game where more checkdowns are going to be turned down than some of the other game plans the Bears would have.
Anthony Heron is not just with us here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. He is in studio because that victory chicken was coming, and it's here.
It and arrived. Why didn't you guys tell me to wear crimson or maroon?
Well, you know,
missed the memo. Didn't
if you're looking on Twitch, I mean, isn't it obvious I did not get this memo?
Layla, it's. I'm wearing my school colors. You're wearing your school colors. Your school had a big win over the weekend, so I think it's appropriate that the North
Witness
Texas Green. Okay, let's calm down.
Our quarterback knows how to throw.
Oh, listen, she's saying hour
he's
now.
He's a freshman.
Layla's on the team. She said hour.
I said hour. I said, well, I did go there.
Yeah, she said hour. Sorry.
This segment with Anthony Heron.
I don't play for the Navy. I'm sorry. Although I'm happy my tax dollars go to it.
Okay.
There we go.
Well, anyway, like I was saying, this segment with Anthony Heron, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. That's 1-833-PLUM-911. I got to get to the
gorgeous read, Marshall. Are you ever going to invite me to sit down?
There's another chair
for you.
Oh, okay. Are you injured again?
Yes.
Is that what you said? You got hurt again?
This is gout. This isn't deep squat.
This guy's walking around literally carrying a garbage bag of ice, limping around. It's just a, it's a pathetic scene.
Dude, gout is real, man. Oh, gout affects a lot of people.
My left toe does. My
Then you know.
I don't know if it's gout.
It's gout.
But it is uncomfortable.
It's gout. I'm here to tell you. It's definitely gout.
What did I tell you guys last week? Go to your doctors, especially if you have insurance. You're already paying for it.
So nobody set up a chair for you?
Well, honestly, I didn't realize Marshall. Well, I mean, I should always assume Marshall's banged up. I was just waiting to see if he was going to invite me to sit down or not, and then waiting for the opportunity to call him out on air.
I took the bad chair. There's a fresh, beautiful new chair over there because I mean, you wanted to sit down. At least I do realize
you're not being impolite. This is a necessary chair for your injury.
I'm from Alabama. We got home training and everything else. Listen, Ant, I need you to explain to people because I don't think everyone understands. How bad is Cincinnati's defense? Ooh. So when you're like, oh, they look great, but let's put it into context. This is the worst defense in the league. This isn't some Ravens had some bad weeks and they got some guys hurt and now they've got to buy to get things together, which we saw a week ago. This is different. The Bengals are that barge on fire floating down the river.
And maybe the river's on fire.
And maybe the river's on fire.
The barge on fire in the river, ablaze with flames everywhere.
Yes.
They have the garbage can inside of the dumpster fire.
So how much do you put on what the Bears were able to do this week based on just how bad the Bengals' defense is?
It was good to see the Bears do to them what a quality offense should do to them.
Mm, and well put.
Again, we're 8 games into the season now. There's numbers to back this up. The Bears aren't going to score 40-plus every week, but they're one of the most explosive offenses in football. Caleb, statistically, is one of the top 10 most productive quarterbacks in football. The Bears score at a rate that's amongst the top 10 offenses in the sport. They get touchdowns amongst the top 5 in the sport. Their takeaways on defense enhance that. So all that within the context matters, but the Bears are a good offense. They're not an elite level offense, they're not a Super Bowl level offense, but the Bears are one of the top offenses in football through the majority of the first half of the season, and we're not accustomed to seeing that. So I am amongst a group of people saying that, yeah, it'll be good to see more of it, but the evidence is there that they are one of the better offenses in the sport this season. It shouldn't be short-sold. And so to do that against a defense that can't tackle, they can't cover, they can't rush the quarterback, that's what you should do to them. And then the takeaways even enhance it where, yeah, putting up 30-plus without any takeaways probably would have been the case. You get some takeaways, you're putting up 47.
That is Anthony Heron. He is in studio with us. Marshall, Anthony.
He is standing in studio with Raheemy Harrison Grill.
We'll get you a chair in the break.
And he came in for the victory chicken.
We're at victory chicken.
Popeyes is here, so we're all going to get a biscuit and chicken during the break. And in the meantime, we are going to be back with more analysis. And Ant, you brought up something. You sent me a nugget. And when I get clues, I try to follow the clue.
I always respect that.
A la Dora the Explorer. Maybe I learn a little Spanish on the way.
Did you hear about this chair? That's Doug's chair, by the way.
I'm dying laughing at the Twitch mob just saying that like Doug isn't real. Like this is the funniest running joke now. And if he knew, he'd laugh. But I think he might be overwhelmed by the popularity of Doug actually not being real. So coming up next, we'll Anthony Heron gave me a clue, and boy, if he wasn't right. So let's revisit Ant predicting the future on Fox 32.
I would love to comp Caleb Williams with some of the quarterbacks that I had to face during my NFL career that I believe he's got a similar impact at this point in his career on the minds of opposing defensive coordinators.
You heard it. Let's do it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Next.
Raheemy Harrison Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I mentioned the growth of Kyle Manungai earning some of those additional opportunities. Maybe you can turn this Bears ground attack into a frightful event. We're seeing the technique of Colston Loveland really come to the fore as a blocker as much as a pass receiver. I love watching.
That is the voice of Anthony Heron. I believe that was on Fox 32 with the team. Luke Kanellis, Cassie Carlson, Tina Wynn. They do big Bears work every weekend. Yeah. And it was nice to see Lou on there. And Lou, I'm sorry, Anthony Heron.
Hey, Layla. I got to do my Lou Kanellis impression.
You have a Lou Kanellis impression?
That was pretty good,
Let's
actually.
Let's do it.
Hey, Layla. Hey, do it again.
That's all I got, actually. Oh.
Let's go to Lou Kanellis and at Soldier Field.
Hey, Layla. That's all I got for you. It's my best Lou.
It's like limited impersonation. I've known you do a few limited impersonations, like one or two words, and that's it.
So yeah. I've heard. Yeah.
Love it. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Talking again with Ann Heron, who was on Fox 32 after a big Bears win. And Ant likes to tell me what to watch for. Mm. You're like, what to watch for. Yeah, let's just keep them going. And you keyed in on tight end production.
Right.
This is before the game.
Mm-hmm. Pregame coverage, we do a show called Bears Game Day Live with the cast you referenced, myself and everybody at Fox 32. So we're on there every Sunday before the game starts. And I could see that the production, the targets, the involvement in the offense starting to uptick in recent weeks for Colston Loveland. That combined with the Bengals defense being – I mean, they're least effective in a number of categories, but specifically, opposing tight ends have been targeted at a rate against Cincinnati's young linebackers more so than any other defense in the National Football League with the way that folks would attack those linebackers with their tight ends. So it just seemed to me that because we'd seen several games in a row with several targets, several catches for Loveland, he's obviously more involved in the offensive game plan, not just the game Cole Kmet missed, but that had been going on for a few weeks. So he seemed ready, he seemed primed, and this defense really seemed like one that I felt like the Bears would be able to take advantage of. Not only what he was doing and showing capable of as a pass receiver, but his run blocking has really started to be increased as well. And with Cole Kmet back in the lineup, I think if Kmet were able to stay in the game, then both of them would have really had significant roles, but it was really nice to see that combination of Williams and Loveland and what they could mean. And it's one thing in the open field. That last touchdown throw and catch was special, and the run afterwards, but the red zone, where the Bears have struggled so much, and I was talking to you guys about this last week, where in the red zone you're trying to create either space or matchups, and Colston Loveland, he seems like a guy who could end up being a matchup problem. Not everybody who's big or fast is truly a matchup problem in the red zone because there's a level of route running, body control, confident hands, ability to operate in tight spaces. Those things matter to make plays in the red zone. Colston Loveland seems to have those skills. So if that can become a thing where they can start to match up Colston Loveland to be a red zone touchdown maker, that'll really pay dividends.
What did you think of all the gadgetry that was involved? I mean, I thought it was interesting. The players talked about how the way Ben Johnson gets them ready for it by, you know, the install and everything else, they're just regular plays to them, and they have fun with it, but they're like, they're just regular plays.
When you go into a game and you're going throughout and you run like 55, 60 plays of offense, and when you're stalling, you're punting a lot, there's less opportunity to get to some of that. Not because it's not in the game plan, but you're not setting the opponent up. A lot of this, you want to cycle up towards it from things you've seen on film, things you've shown earlier in the game, that'll give you the chance to run an exotic, a deceptive, a gadget type of play. And so the Bears ran, what, almost 80 plays or something like that in the game? So you just get a chance to work these in, to set the opponent up. And one of the reasons that I was excited about the tight end position, and especially in the red zone, I was talking about it a bit on Bears Game Day Live, was the opportunity for potential tight end throwback to use some misdirection, because the Bengals defense, those rookies at linebacker, the inexperience in the secondary, their eye discipline is just awful. They void gaps constantly. Their landmarks are bad in pass coverage. So it just seemed to me like a game where they'd be able to test the eye discipline of the Bengals. And I said, when you get in the red zone and it's such a point of emphasis for them, look out for Caleb being on the run and throwing it back across the field to Colston Loveland. That's kind of what I had in my head. They didn't do tight end throwback specifically, but misdirection, just knowing that that'd be something they could attack. They did it a lot.
The Bears ran 76 total plays. The Bears. for 576 total yards. The Bengals ran 65 plays for 495 total yards.
Also
and now I
yards.
Feel like I'm looking at a Big 12 box.
Yeah, it was all in context too. Like they didn't seem frivolous nor excessive. The trickery. In the red zone, and I was all for it. Like, hey, if you're not getting the ball into the end zone, go ahead and have DJ Moore pass it to Caleb Williams for 2 yards to eventually tie the game at 7. And then you have, oh, man. By the way, is there a manual or a plan or a procedure that we are all to follow when Tyson Bagent enters a game? Because the alarm bell's going off. When he goes into the game, I was talking about this with Weeder on the Take the North podcast because he was at the game. And they're watching in real time. They're like, Weeder is like, holy bleep, Bajan's going out there. Oh, my God, Caleb is still out there. What are they doing?
I hope
doing?
He yelled that in the press box. I mean, I hope he just screamed that at the top of his lungs.
Apparently, there was a little rustle in the force at that point in the press box.
Rustle in the force.
Yeah, a little rustle.
Was there a murmur
in the force. Yeah, that's right. I said a little rustle in the force. That's what was going on in that press box. But what did you think about that play and those two? That's in the fourth quarter.
Was that the hot potato?
That's the hot potato.
That was the Philly special for the first time.
The hot potato was the one where Caleb scored the touchdown.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You could have named this the hot potato, too.
They didn't tell us what they called it. We need to know.
We'll find out. I think there is a name for it. I think Weeder had that, too, but I'll text Weedsy on that. But, yeah, the Caleb Bagent playing catch, the 15-yard play, Caleb gets it and runs down the sideline. That's after the Booker sack fumble, so it's a pretty big moment there. I know there were some people critiquing the fact that he's still doing trick plays in the fourth quarter, but you got 15 yards out of it. Did it make sense to you, or were you like, whoa, what are we doing here in the fourth quarter?
Made perfect sense to me. I mean, I don't think there's many people in this town over the past, whatever, 7-8 years that have had more smoke for Bears offensive play callers. Ben Johnson is everything we thought he would be this season. So I got zero issues with anything I see from him because not only is it versatile, is it multiple, but it seems to consistently suit the moment. And that's where he's got concepts that can join, that build off of each other, not only in that individual drive or in that individual game, but throughout the scope of the season. And I think it wasn't frivolous, I think was your word, and I think that's accurate. Or if you didn't say it, you maybe should have. It wasn't frivolous at all with the way that the deceptions, okay, good, all right. with the way that the deceptives were worked in throughout the game because of that defense, because of that opponent and the moments in the game they were worked in.
Well, also, you're trying to measure tendencies.
Right.
So if I'm game planning and I think that Ben Johnson says make same things look different things look the same, then I am calling a play based on what I know they have to commit to. So if I've established the run game, where are the bodies committed to say spy on the run or commit to a tackle they don't want to lose? And the defense is trying to tell you what it's okay with giving up. So then therefore, you're trying to call a play that is based on similar formations that worked with successful other previous calls, I'm assuming.
Right. And to throw Tyson Bagent onto the field and have him in the lineup, if nothing else, just sort of chemically in the locker room, it does indicate to me that as much as there is understandable scrutiny on Caleb and on the offense, and you know, after last week's game, I'm taking callers in post asking about Tyson Bagent and starting and everything else. But they're in this together, and they're enjoying these moments in the preparation together, and the comfort to in this media market, frankly, where you do something like that in New York or in Philly or in Chicago and say, well, the backup is going to get some run and throw it to the starter when the backup can very easily become a topic of conversation around here. And Ben Johnson and the Bears are very aware of that. But also, they're able to drown it out enough and just say, like, we're just out here making plays. And that entire Bears offense is out here, frankly, just in support of each other in doing these things, just trying to win games, and that's their focal point.
Anthony Heron with us in studio here on Raheem Harris and Grody. And look, making plays sounds so simple when you talk about the offense. On defense, you're like, please, somebody make a play. Austin Booker came off IR and was like, here I am, guys, this is what I can do. And also, by the way, Dayo Odingbo is walking around the medical tent getting checked out, and now I'm looking at Austin Booker like, hey, strip sack, force fumble, what can he do? What can we expect from him? He played 54% of the snaps.
So I love that particular rush I saw from Austin Booker.
Yes.
my concern is. Well, let me start with the positive.
Okay,
let me start
with the positive. Give it to me straight.
Austin Booker, in those pass rush downs, it was nice to see him take some of those traits that we saw during the preseason and this long layoff and the ramp up to get him ready for game action. And in a critical moment in the game where a takeaway was going to mean something big, I tweeted it like right before that series. I was like, man, takeaway would be great for the Bears defense right now, just after what they had done on offense previously. And there's Austin Booker, strip sack on Flacco, a great rush with the long arm. And then he didn't just stay with the long arm. Like, rookie Austin Booker seemed to me to be a guy who's going to stay down the middle of that block. In the preseason, we saw growth where after he got into the middle of an offensive blocker, he was able to get off of that, use those levers with some additional movement to now come free towards the quarterback. And then he's got a great burst to finish. Now, if Dio Dangbo is going to be out, and we already know that Shamar Turner is out, who's getting a lot of run at defensive end, the Bears' run defense, the growth in that run defense, is with some of the physicality that they have, not only in the middle, but on the edges and how they can hit blocks. Until proven otherwise, Austin Booker ain't ready for that. Like, as an every down defensive end in this scheme, where a lot of times you line up heavy on a tackle or inside eye on a tight end and you're fighting pressure from both sides, that's asking a lot for where he's at in his development. So if you don't have some of the bigger physical defensive ends available, and Austin Booker is your every down guy against other offenses that are going to run the ball more than 15 times in a game, then that's probably going to be a problem for the Bears.
Sounds like trouble.
Yeah. That is Anthony Heron. We have a request for you.
What up?
So we do this segment called Inside the Locker Room, and we're remixing the remix that we do. Mm-hmm. We need you to be present for some of the post-game reaction from Cincinnati, because, man,
it means more chicken for you.
It was interesting. It yeah. And you get more chicken. See, the Take the North podcast is giving us
now for some more
chicken
gout
today.
Inducing yeah. chicken. Let's go.
That's right.
Does chicken induce gout?
No, chicken does not induce gout.
Okay, all right.
No,
I don't have much experience with
shellfish
it.
Shellfish has a lot of purines in the
Take the North just exhausted its budget for year 2025. So that's not bad, though, in November.
Hey, at least we did it, right? We did it.
Oh, crap, rent's due. No, never mind. That's my personal life.
Got him. That's
rent's due, mother.
Yeah.
Some people got that reference.
Let's take you inside the chaotic meltdown that was the Bengals locker room with Anthony Heron next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Raheny Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Foot.
The premier
locker room
show in Chicago, inside the
Bengals locker room.
It's perfect. We've now remixed Inside the Clubhouse, Hit and Run, and Inside the Locker Room into Inside the Bengals Locker Room. This is Raheny Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Anthony Heron, kind enough to join us. He's our football analyst. Of course, he also works for Fox 32 and Big Ten Network, and he will host the Score post-game show this Sunday.
That's what I do.
From 5 to 6:30 p.m. So
I host post, and I eat victory chicken.
Hell yeah.
And
that's
wearing
what we're
a bear.
Doing right now.
I gave him a bear.
And I earned a bear.
Yeah,
how did I earn this bear, by the way?
Just for coming in studio. It makes it. We like to see you, too. Yeah. It makes the bit better. It's like, so thank you did your part. You get the chicken, and you get a bear.
I like to be seen.
Yep. TTN has provided the victory chicken.
That is right.
Today.
Take the North. Absolutely.
So
thank you, Layla.
We're used to the other side of this. We're used to hearing from upset players. And when I worked the, when I would be part of the NBC Sports Chicago festivities, the Bears were free speaking after frustrating losses in the locker room. And you're familiar with Chase Brown, the former Illini.
True.
But, man, Chase had some stuff to say after this 47-42 for the Bengals loss and Bears win after the game.
It sucks, but that's NFL. You got to play to the last second. You can't let up even when you feel like the momentum shifted. So that would be how I'm feeling right now, is just play all the way through. And
what was running through your head walking back to the locker room, Chase?
Probably the same as what was running through your head. Like what the f***? What the f***?
When does that emotion change to just anger, knowing how differently the season could have looked if you closed out the last 2 weeks?
You felt like
I'd be lying if I said it didn't set us back from where we wanted to be. You know, we want to be. Our mentality was 3-0 going into this bye week, and we could have easily done it. That's the sickening part. It's like we could have easily done it.
As somebody who's been inside a locker room on the player side, what is that feeling like?
What the f***?
That I think we understand.
Says it all, right?
That we know all too well.
There's a desperation once you get to this point in the season, and especially a few years ago, they added another slot to the playoff, and only one team gets the bye. And so there's a lot of teams who are still in the hunt, you know, likes to be spoken about. But from Baltimore last week, when the Ravens were coming off a bye and they were getting reinforcements back on defense between Roquan and Kyle Hamilton, that was a desperate Ravens squad because they needed that dub sitting at 1-5. And the Bengals are in a different place as a franchise, but they're still a franchise expecting to get Joe Burrow back at some point later in the season. The locker room recognizes that, and having Joe Flacco right now and the post-35-year-old version of Joe Flacco is so much better than the 25-year-old version of Joe Flacco that won a Super Bowl. Like, it's night and day. Wow. It's remarkable what he is at this point in his career. So they've at least got a QB not only keeping this thing afloat, but giving them a chance to win and just stay at a certain level in that division that's uber competitive until their MVP candidate gets back into the lineup. So that frustration is real. That frustration is felt. Because they know these opportunities are few and far between. They saw the Bears as a gettable out to come out with that win at home. And credit to the Bears fans for making that feel like a bit of a home game for the guys from Soldier Field to go on the road and sound like that. Because Bengals fans are maybe starting to get off the ship a little bit if they let the Bears come in and do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's not the only piece of audio we have. Ja'Marr Chase had this to say.
How hard is it to keep your composure after a game like this?
It's not fun when you're losing.
In the fourth quarter, you score 2 touchdowns in like a minute of game time. What goes through your mind when you score that second touchdown and take the lead?
Defense get a stop.
How difficult is it to stay unified and make sure that it's not offense versus defense in this locker room? How difficult is that going to be, given the emotion?
I don't know. I've never been in this situation. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know. I'm just trying to stay positive.
At some point, as a leader or any of the leaders on the offense, is it good to get on the defense or stay in your lane?
I'm going to stay in my lane. I don't want no defensive player coming chew me up.
Love but he that. Did. He kind of sold fair. Him out, though, for defense to get a stop, right?
Well, I asked him what he was thinking in the moment.
Yeah, that's no, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. He's not making an accusation.
It's not like he can do anything, Mark. He's boy, like, I'm on the sideline.
It really does sound like what was going on last year in the Bears locker room. And not everybody was like willing to speak their minds, but there were a lot of guys speaking their minds last year. So it is sort of heartening for me to hear the Bears putting a locker room in that predicament.
It was a desperate team at a desperate time, and the Bears had a miraculous win. I don't know if this game is more so because that they kind of gave away that Vikings game in the opener where they outplayed Minnesota for 3 quarters and barfed that one away late. This isn't that because it's a team personnel-wise now. You know, personnel for Cincinnati's offense, that's as good as any in the league. But it's a game where I think many of us expected the Bears to win, and they got a miraculous win in the end. So they snatched that victory out late. But That frustration is born from the desperation Cincinnati felt going into that game.
You know what I thought when I heard these guys talking in the locker room? I was like, man, is this a good time for a bye? It feels like it's about to explode in there. Like if they had to play next week and the defense didn't have a chance to reset, that's when the finger pointing and just, if it's not already started, would really get to the top of the page.
Well, and you look at some of those glimpses of Al Golden on the sideline, and it's hard to know exactly what a coach is thinking, but he certainly didn't. He didn't look like a coach who's had any answers anytime recently. And that's part of what put me in the mind frame. I was talking about it a bit last night on Post of the comp I was referencing for Caleb, just because I've been in those defensive meeting rooms, frankly, with some of the guys who are on the Bears defensive staff right now, where we're facing Donovan McNabb. And McNabb's a few years older than me, so at that point, just early in my NFL career, Donovan McNabb was already an MVP caliber guy. But you think to the early seasons, like late 90s to early 2000s, Donovan McNabb, where he's just kind of running all over the place, didn't have a lot of playmakers around him, didn't really know how to play the position at the professional level. But man, did he make plays. Huh. And Donovan McNabb never won a regular season MVP or anything like that, but he constantly had his team in the mix. The Eagles go into NFC championship game after NFC championship game, and then they add T.O. to the mix, and he goes to a Super Bowl. And Donovan McNabb, Steve McNair, you know, they're older than me. Ben Roethlisberger, a little younger than me. But the early portion of the careers of those guys where they had teams that could win, and they – while not as consistent or precise as they would eventually become, but they knew how to win early in their career, and they helped earn victories for their teams. And we're seeing that with the Bears quarterback. And if nothing else, I know by the way that defenses are playing the Bears with sort of a hesitancy, where they don't know at what point the combination of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams is prepared to strike. And what mainly keeps defensive coordinators up at night, like Matthew Stafford, there's nobody playing quarterback better than Matt Stafford right now anywhere in football. But they don't lie awake at night in the same way because they know where Stafford is likely to go, like where he's going to be in the pocket, where he's going to try to go with the football. He's just so special as a passer where he can still get it there regardless. But the unscripted aspect of it, or the things that are tougher to prepare for between mobility and aggression downfield, guys lay awake at night because it's tougher to script a defense for that. Mm-hmm. And Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, they have opposing defenses in that circumstance right now. And it's a fun, and it, in my opinion, should be a hopeful place for Bears fans to be, where you got a team that's now at 5-3. They've won 5 out of the last 6 games, and they've got that combination. A head coach who is obviously an offensive genius and seems to be showing signs of being a high-level head coach as well, and a quarterback with all these skills that's already uber productive, and there's so much meat on the bone for him to become more consistent and precise. It's a good spot to be in because they're winning in spite of obviously having room to grow.
Our segments with Anthony Heron are brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We got to let you have the last word since you were kind enough to come in all the way from the suburbs, hang out with us, have some chicken, match everybody.
You do 5 on it with us, too.
Yeah, if you want, you can hang out for 5 on it if you like.
Yeah, we've always got an extra mic for 5 on it.
Is there fun in store for 5 on it?
Yes. I mean, there's always fun.
There is.
I mean, they ain't ran out of chicken yet. I'll do 5 on it.
Marshall just...
Lawrence better get here soon. I saw Spiegel getting his, we're all taking this stuff down.
By the way, what's cracking us up, in case you're watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore, is we get to see people's faces for the first time when they walk up to the chicken. And the joy.
Yes,
like, Channy was like, oh, yeah! Like, Spiegel's smile.
You know, he gave, like, the touchdown symbol. He was like...
It's like he's about to shout good, better, best. Right? Yes. Like, he out there, he sees the chicken, good, better, best! That's essentially what Spiegel's going to do.
Channy looked like a little kid, though.
Did you guys see the adorable video the Bears posted of the kid? There was a soccer team in New Jersey, this youth soccer team, and the kid saying good, better, best.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, celebrate.
It warmed my cold, dead heart. It was so adorable.
Not your cold, dead heart. Your heart is very much warm and alive.
It feels dead.
I can feel the heat from here.
That's just me turning the heater on because I'm always cold.
Oh, wow. I'd like to turn it down. Down, man.
man. I'm dying in here.
It's because you're weird. Seriously? It's colder over here, I think, actually.
It? Maybe it is. Actually, right now, it's temperate. But when you boost that up just a little bit, it's a little hot over here. But,
some sorry. Of that spicy
no,
chicken
it's okay.
Molly and Holler in that Flag and Anthem high-quality fabric. They're basically wearing horse blankets.
That's a good point.
And then it's like 12 degrees in here, and I'm like, uh-uh.
Yeah, that's too cold. Yeah, it is a little too cold for those guys. They like to stay fresh. You know, you got to stay fresh.
No, well, it's awake. It's having the alert when you're up.
No, Haw has an expiration date. That's the problem. He's got to stay. He has to be cool at all times. Yes, you guys don't know that. Like, if he is not kept cool.
That sounded bad.
Why?
He has got to.
Really sounded grim.
He has to. No, I'm just saying. He has to be kept cool. That's all. If he's kept cool.
What happens to him?
Well, it's like.
David Haw used to play football, and I'm going to let him take the supplement.
Yeah, the fact that you call him soft basically. I'm just saying, like, he's a good piece of steak. If you leave a good piece of steak on the counter for 3 days, it's what's going to happen? It's going to start to mold.
See,
that's
like,
Haw. He is prime cut.
I'm like the highest.
Keep him cool.
Moldy Haw. Oh, my God. More with Anthony here, and he's joining us for 5 on It. 5 questions that pertain to not just the Bears, but other major sports news that is going on. We'll do it all next, thanks to the Victory Chicken from the Take the North podcast. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on The Score.
Bad take.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.